It's July the 8th, and we're in Perek Chelek. We're at the two dots on Kuf Aleph on the Beis. Today we're going to take us hopefully up to the bottom of Kuf Beis and Beis. And here we begin the discussion of, as the header of the Gemara says, Shlosha Malachim Arba Hedyaitis, the three kings that lost the Chelek in Olam Haba, Yeravam, Achav, and then Amachlekes of Amenasha. Now, the Gemara says that Yeravam ben Nevat, that Nevat has three names, that his other names are Sheva ben Bichri, and also Micha. The Gemara says, Tana hu Nevat hu Micha hu Sheva ben Bichri, which is a fascinating thing to find out that they're the same person. I actually had forgotten this Gemara. Now, Nevat, of course, is the father of Yeravam. Micha is the person of Pesel Micha, who was involved in establishing an idol in the time of the Shoftim, which was in Shevet Dan. And Sheva ben Bichri is the person who, after the revolution of Avshalom, was defeated by David HaMelech. Sheva ben Bichri then tried to either continue the rebellion or mount his own rebellion, and he was eventually killed. So Nevat, or Micha, or Sheva ben Bichri met his end in the story of Sheva ben Bichri, where he was chased by Yoav ben Tzruya, and that is the famous story with Serach bas Asher, where he hid in the city in Shevet Asher, and Yoav was going to raise the city, Serach bas Asher understood the halacha that in a case where someone is chayav misa, then you can give him over. When normally the halacha is, if the goyim say we're going to destroy the city unless you give us a specific Jew, they name a particular Jew, they say give us that Jew, we're going to kill that Jew, otherwise we're going to kill the entire city, you're not allowed to give over that Jew. You have to let the whole city be killed out, even though the net loss is much higher. More Jews are going to be killed if we don't give him over. And he's also going to be killed if we don't give him over. But if we do give him over, we'll save everybody else. You're still not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to give him over. It's usser. He's allowed to give himself up, which is meritorious. But he's not allowed to... But you weren't allowed to give him over. Unless, the halacha is, unless he's chayav misa like Sheva ben Bichri. This is the example. In the case of Sheva ben Bichri, it's allowed because Sheva ben Bichri was chayav misa because he was a marid b'malchus. So in a case where the person who they want is chayav misa, then you're allowed to give him over. So that's how this person, Nevat Micha, Sheva ben Bichri, meets his end.
Is that because he's dead anyway? Is that because he's considered like a mace?
I don't think it's because he's chayav misa, not because he's considered like a mace.
So you're changing his type of misa you're going to be giving him?
Right, I guess so. I guess that's the pshat. I'll call upon him. He was a very old person. As Rashi tells us, the bottom right Rashi says that, well, because the Gemara says, why was he called Micha? Because he was Nismach Mech Bebinyan. He was crushed into the wall, into the building. Mm-hmm. So Rashi says, Shal Mitzrayim, Shenasnuhu Bebinyan, B'makom Levena. They put him there in place of a brick. Kenefarash Ba'agada, Shamalo Moshe LaHakadosh Baruch Hu. After Paro took away the straw, we did not give the straw to the Jews to make bricks. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Ata harayos alam hazeh, you did bad to this nation. She'achshav meim lahem levenim, they don't have any bricks. May simen b'neim shal yisal b'binyan. They're going to put they are putting the children of the Jews in place of bricks into the building." Amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kaitzim hei mechalan, they are removing the thorns, meaning these children are those who will amount to nothing positive. Shagalu lefanai." It is revealed in front of me, Ilu Haim Chayim, Hayu Rashaim Gemur, and they would be Rashaim. Vim Tirtzin, if you want to Nasa, you can test it out. Vahitzi Achamehem, Moshe Rabbeinu took one of them out. Halach Vahitzi, I'm sorry, Vim Tirtzin, Tanasa Vahitzi Achamehem, go if you want, you can test out the theory and take one of them out. Halach Vahitzi Esmicha, he went to Gamicha, and Micha ended up bringing this idolatry to Klal Yisrael. He ended up mounting rebellion, and he had a son named Yeravam, who ended up, of course, being chaytu machbi as harabim, losing his chelik in Olam Haba and causing terrible things.
Well, doesn't seem to go against exactly the previous Gemara we learned with Cheskiah HaMelech. He said he didn't want to have any children. because all their shaman coming out, that's not your cheshbon.
Right, but it is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. A Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying that to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't sweat it, they're all Rishayim.
So Moshe Rabbeinu is lacking in
them. Okay, so here's the issue. What's the pshat over here? The Moshe Rabbeinu goes and takes them out of the wall. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you they're all Rishayim. So you're going to say, well, I'm not really sure about that. Hashem, you know, okay, you say that they're all Rishayim. I'm not really sure you're right. Why did he take him out of the wall? That's a very difficult thing. And then he ends up being a terrible person. So it seems to me, even though it says the imtirtza, if you want, take him out of the wall, but it seems to me, the pshat's like this. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says it in the Chumash, in Parsha Shmos, it says in the Chumash, Lama harei osa la'am hazeh. Why did you do bad to this nation? Lama zeh shlachtani, why did you send me? So Moshe Rabbeinu is matiach dvarim klapei mayla. He speaks strongly towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you're wrong. So it seems to me that fakir, because Moshe Rabbeinu said that, he now had to show everybody that he was wrong. Now, part of the tikkun was to show everybody that he was wrong, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was obviously correct. Meaning that the Chumash doesn't record the conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu just says, Lama hari osa, lama zeh, why'd you do bad? So it's necessary to show that it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hatzur Tam and Paul like Yichol Derach of Mishpat, everything is perfect. So Moshe Rabbeinu is essentially told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to show the world that you were wrong for saying what you said. So the thing is like this, that was going to happen, there was going to be somebody who would be a Yeravam. It was going to happen. Shlomo HaMelech, as we'll talk about presently, deserved to have the Melucha split. That was going to happen. It's Merisham Yantzei Rasha, although he wasn't a Rasha at the time, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Yeravam to be the one. Now, it turned bad, but Yeravam was a tremendous gadol, as we'll see, as the Gemara says itself. That Yeravam was of the greatest gedolim. It's an incredible thing that he went off. So we'll talk about Yeravam in a moment. So apparently, it's not the pshat that there would not have been bad people in Klal Yisrael. There were bad people even from those who weren't in the building. But it was important to show that the Lashon of Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Hariel Salamazeh, was wrong. That's what I think is going on. Yes, it is a little bit funny. Like, so then what would have happened had he not taken him out? Right, it's a good question. Al Kolpanim, it's a fascinating thing. I'm not holding in Pesal Micha well enough to discuss it. I would like to discuss the parallels between Sheva ben Micha and Nevat being the father of Yeravam, but I'm not prepared to do that because I'm not really holding in Pesal Micha well enough. So, but it is something that for the future, perhaps, to spend some time on.
So who was the bad person? Was it the baby that was in the wall, or was it the child of the baby that was in the wall?
No, the baby himself.
So he lived all these years?
Yeah, he lived a long time. Sheva ben Bichri was all the time of David HaMelech. They're talking 350, 400 years later.
And what's the Chazal
saying
about that by Kriyas Yamsuf already there's
Pesel Micha? Yeah, Chazal say. Chazal say Shevet Dan had Pesel Micha already.
But he stole the gold from his mother, and that's what later.
Yeah, so as I said, I'm not really holding in the mic so well enough to discuss it. That's what Chazal say. Okay, now Yeravam is a major character and a major force in Navi, in Nach. And here we have our introduction to Yeravam. Now Yeravam, Chazal say on Kof Beis Amud Aleph, that Yeravam was a tremendous gadol b'Torah. As the Gemara says about Yeravam and Achia HaShiloi was one of the greatest Nevi'im, although he's not as famous perhaps as Eliyahu HaNavi, but Achia HaShiloi is known as one of the greatest Nevi'im. And Achia HaShiloi is the one who crowns Yeravam as king, and when it says that he was wearing a Salma Chadasha, or Simla Chadasha, whatever the Lashon is over there, so the Gemara says that Amar of Nachman Kisalma Chadasha, Ma Selma or Silma Chadasha Ein Bashum Doifi. There was nothing, there's no weakness or nothing lacking or nothing bad. What's that?
Defects.
Thank you. There's from a person who deals with clothing. There's no defects in this new garment. There was no defect in Yeravam's Torah. Davar Acher Soma Chadasha Shechid Shudvarim. They said Chidushay Torah. Yeravam and Achia Shiloni Shloi Shama Oyis in Mei Olam. Nobody had ever heard it. It was so incredible. Ma'im Ushem Levadam Basade. What does it mean? They were alone in the field. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Shekol Tamidei Chachamim Daimen Lifneim Ki Isvei Hasade. All of the Tamidei Chachamim were like grass in the field. They were nothing compared to them. Like all the Tamei Torah were revealed to them like the field. So you see that they were incredible Tamei Chachamim. Sheva ben Bichri, Yerav ben Avot was an incredible Tamei Chacham. Achia Shilaini remains a tzaddik. He's a great Navi and remains that way. And that's, as the Gemara tells us, why Yehu ben Nimshi was misled into thinking that Yeravam was correct, because he saw that Achia Shilaini had signed on to Yeravam's plans. But Lamaisa, Yeravam was a great gadol at one point. As an aside, I need to go back for a moment. Sheva ben Bichri, if he's the father of Yeravam, Yeravam comes from Shevet Menashe. Excuse me, from Shevet Ephraim. Yeravam comes from Shevet Ephraim. When Yaakov Avinu is introduced to the Bnei Yosef to give them a bracha, and he says, "Vayomer mi'ela, who are these?" And he already knew who Ephraim and Menashe were. He had met them, and he had learned with them, and knew who they were. But Rashi says in Parshas Vayechi, "Mi'ela that are not royal abracha," because he saw that there were Rishoyim who were going to come out of Menashe and Ephraim, and the Rasha that was going to come from Ephraim was Yeravam ben Nevat. So he said, "Why? Who are these people that are not shayach to bracha?" So the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel says that Sheva ben Bichri was an ish yemini, which is from Binyamin. So the Marsha points out, others pointed to that as well, but the Marsha asked the Kasha that was he from Binyamin or from Ephraim. So he says that he was doing a Maisa like Shaul, who came from Binyamin. Avada, he was from Ephraim, Nevat, meaning Sheva ben Bichri, but he was doing a Maisa daima to Shaul, that it was was going against the Malucha, going against the of David HaMelech.
Shaul was, after he was disposed?
I guess that's what he means. I'm pretty sure he says Daimet to Shaul. Okay, so Yeravam was this incredible Talmud Chacham, a great Gadol. And then he is crowned as king. Now, when he was crowned as king, the background is as follows. Shlomo HaMelech was a big tzaddik. He did some averis on his madrega. Shlomo HaMelech on his madrega did some averis. He was still a great tzaddik, but did some averis. Due to those averis, on his madrega, he was punished. One of the ways that he was punished was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made gzeira that the melucha would be split. The melucha would be split. This also goes back to a maisa with David HaMelech, with Tziva, who was an Eved. It has to do with what went on over there with David HaMelech. So there's an issue over there as well. But I'll call upon him, the Melucha would have to be split. And that's what happened. Of course, the Melucha was split. Yeravam ben Nevat was married against Melech Shlomo HaMelech. And he was correct for being married. Normally, married Malchus is Chayef Misa. But Yeravam ben Nevat was correct for being married by Malchus, for rebelling, as the Gemara itself says. Why was he Zeichet to Malucha? Because he was married against Melech Shlomo. Why was he? Did he lose his Chelek in Olam Haba, the Gemara says? Because he did it Befar Hesi. I did it publicly rather than privately. But he was correct for giving Musar to Shlomo HaMelech for what he had done wrong. The Gemara says that how was he married by Malchus? He told him he was wrong for having built up the Miloi, and the one thing that he did wrong for Basparo, and the second thing he told him, and the thing that he did is he was Paishet Tfilav Lafanov. He took off his tefillin in front of him. That's considered to be a disrespectful thing to do. You should be aware. The halacha is that one should not remove their tefillin, talking about the tefillin Shalraish, in front of their Rabbi Muvhak. Your Rabbi Muvhak, you're not supposed to take off your Tefillin Shalraish in front of him, facing him. You turn away and take off your tefillin shalraish. It's considered to be a disrespectful thing to do, because you're being megala your head while doing it. But anyway, it's not supposed to be done. Now today, it's rare that a person is in front of the Rebbe Muvhak, but it is negeya that you're not supposed to do it in front of the open Sefer Torah. An open Sefer Torah, one is not supposed to remove their tefillin shalraish in front of the open Sefer Torah. So turn away and remove your tefillin shalraish if you have to do it while the Sefer Torah is open.
It's rare today because people don't have a Rebbe Muvhak.
Yeah, it's rare to have a Rebbe Muvhak. If you do, you're not usually with him. You know, whatever. It's not such a common thing. But in front of the Sefer Torah, it's every Monday and Thursday. So a person should be careful if they need to leave early and they take off their tefillin, not to remove the tefillin shalraish while facing the Sefer Torah. Open Sefer. It's considered disrespectful. It's considered being flippant. Now, so that's what Yeravam did. Now, Yeravam then had to run away because Shlomo Melech was going to kill him for being murdered by Malchus, and he did run away to Mitzrayim. And then, after Shlomo Melech died, and Rechavam took over, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, and Naamah HaMonis, then Yeravam came back, and he led a rebellion against Rechavam. And the mice that took place in Shechem, which we're going to talk about in a moment, and he got 10 of the Shvatim to follow him. Everybody except for, of course, Yehuda, who of course stayed loyal to their own tribesmen, Rechavam, and Binyamin also stayed with Yehuda. That's the Aseres HaShvatim. What's that?
Interesting, because they previously
yes, right. That's very, it's crucial, because one is a Ben Leah, one is a Ben Rachel. It's crucial, because the issue here is Rachel and Leah, as always. So that's crucial that those two stay together.
What did Shevet Levi do?
What's that?
Shevet Levi.
Shevet Levi was scattered. So wherever they were, they were.
They went.
Right. Now remember, the Beis HaMikdash was in the Chelek of Binyamin, with Yehuda. So from the Pesukim, it's mashma, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure Binyamin stayed with Yehuda, because that's where the Beis HaMikdash was. But Al Kalponim, Aseres HaShvatim, which is the northern side of Eretz Yisrael, went to Yerav Menavat. Achia Shilaini went out to the field with Yerav Menavat, took his Simla, and he tore it, and he said that's going to be, he took it and tore it into 12 parts, gave 10 to Yeravim to say that he's going to get 10 Shvatim. That all happens in Shechem. The Gemara tells us that Yeravim ben Nevat, that his downfall was Gasas Haruach. The Gemara says, let's see what it says over here. The Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Gasas Haruach Shai by Yeravim, the Gaiva that Yeravim had, Tirdasai min Ha'olam, that threw him out of the world. Shenemar, now the Mamlach is going to go back to Beis David. If they go up to bring Karbanos in Yerushalayim, they're going to go back there to Rechavam Baharaguni, they'll kill me, Veshavu al Rechavam Melech Yehuda. So Yeravam was very concerned that his rebellion would be very short-lived, because they would go back to Rechavam when they go to the Oyla Regal. Now, what was he concerned about? The Gemara tells us, because the halacha is, Ein yeshiva ba'azara el malchei beis Yehuda bilvad. No one's going to sit down in the azara of the Beis HaMikdash except for the kings of Yehuda alone. Even the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sit down in the azara. Only Melech Yehuda can. So if Melech Yisrael Yeravam would come with everybody to be on the regal, and people will see that Rechavam Melech Yehuda, he's sitting. Yeravam Melech Yisrael, he has to stand. He must not be the real king. And they will be drawn to Rechavam, and they will forsake Yeravam. So Yeravam was very concerned about this, and Yeravam did something which is, if you think about it, is shocking. He established two agalim. As the Gemara itself compares these agalim to the Egel Hazav, and until then, Klai only had one angle to have to do tshuva for. Now we have three, because he put one in Be'er Sheva, one in Dan. Be'er Sheva, is that what it was? He put one... was it Shechem or Shamron? Not Bereshit. But one in Dan and one in
Beisel.
Beisel, is it? Beisel. Yeah, Beisel. Thank you. Put it in Beisel, which would have been the border of the, you know, of the southern part of the northern kingdom of Malchus Israel, and told everybody, instead of going to Beis HaMikdash, go bring karbanos to these agalim. So it's a pelvic thing that the Eil Hazav, I mean, Klal Yisrael spilled in tshuva for it, and here he goes, and he goes, it's a wild thing that he did. So Akoponim, this was a terrible Avera, and this Avera is what made Yeravam lose his chelek in Olam Haba, and eventually it stuck with the Malchei Yisrael. They continually did this Avera, even the ones who did better than the previous ones, but they stuck with this Avera. This Avera they couldn't shake. And ultimately, it led to the destruction of Malchei Yisrael. It wasn't until the last Malach Yisrael that he finally was Mavatel, those who stopped people from being on the regal. They actually put guards up to stop people from being on the regal. Another indication of the Gassus HaRuach of Yeravam, the Gemara says, on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, at the bottom, Amar of Abba, Acher Shetafsa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeravam Bevigdal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grabbed Yeravam by his clothing, Vomal HaKazor Baka, do tshuva, Vani Vato Ben Yishai, Yitav Began Eden, you and I and Ben Yishai will take a stroll in Gan Eden, we'll have a spatzir in Gan Eden. Amar Loi, so Yeravam sent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Baraysh, who goes in front? So he answered him, Ben Yishai Baraysh. David HaMelech goes first. If that's so, I don't want it. Now you got to be careful, because the next Gemara tells about how, not Ravo, but the next Gemara after that, with Rav Ashi, that he spoke disparagingly about the three Malachim that lost the Chelek and Olam Haba. We have to be very careful how we speak about them. Yeravam was a tremendous gadol, certainly knew far more Torah than anybody does today, and yet he lost his chelek and olam haba. You got to be real careful how you speak about him. But so the Gassus HaRuach must have been on his madrega, and it corrupted him. So that's the issue. Now we're going to discuss today something about this Gassus HaRuach to understand a little bit better what it was. But that's what he did, and as a result, he lost his chelek and olam haba. Now, pass me a tissue, please. Thank you very much. Excuse me. Okay, now the Gemara tells us that where did this happen? Where did the Maisa happen of Rechavam losing his Malucha to Yeravam? It happened in Shechem. It says in the Pasuk, Vahi Bai Sahi V'Yeravam. No, sorry, not that pasuk. Long pasuk. Hold on.
How are we holding
the
Kuf?
Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. One second. Where's the pasuk? Hold on. And the pasuk says that they went to Shechem to be mamlich Rechavam, and that's where the rebellion happened. I can't find it off. No, you know what? It's probably in Rashi. One second. Yeah, I'm sorry. No, it's in the Gemara. Yeah. Vayelach Rechavam on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph in the middle. Vayelach Rechavam Shechem, ki Shechem ba kol Yisrael lahamlech oisai. Okay, that's where they came to be mamlechim. So that happened in Shechem. The Gemara tells us that Shechem was a makom mezumah leperonius. It always had calamities there. The Gemara says that Sham b'Shechem inu es Dina. The first bad thing that happened was that they molested Dina. B'Shechem machu echav es Yosef. In Shechem, that's where the brothers sold Yosef. And B'Shechem nechlaka malchus beis David. And in Shechem, that's where malchus beis David was split. So Shechem has a bad track record. On the other hand, Shechem is the place of the brachos and klalos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Chumash, says in Parashas Kisavo, that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, in Eloinei Moreh, I believe it says, that that's where we're going to do the Har Grizim and Har Eval, that you're going to have the Brachos and Klolos, that is Shechem, that's where it's going to take place. The Ala Ushua, that Klal Yisrael is going to make take an oath to keep the Torah and keep everything. In addition, Shechem is that special place that Yaakov was kaina. He actually bought Shechem when he came to Bamei Aksita. And Shechem is the place that Yaakov Avinu gives to Yosef. Shechem achar alachecha. I've given you an extra Shechem. A number of pshatim, what that means. Some say it means chelek echad. But one pshat is Shechem mamash. They gave to Yosef Shechem. He got Shechem. So Shechem is a very significant place in Klal Yisrael. It has a lot of Kedusha. Nevertheless, it's a makom mezum and leperonius. So what is with Shechem? What is it about Shechem? So we have to understand what Shechem is and what it is about, and from there we'll understand Yeravam ben Nevat and where he's coming from, and the whole business with the agolim that he made. So Shechem is a makom where, now think very carefully about this, it's a makom of unity and of exclusivity. What do I mean by that? Shechem has the capacity to be ma'ached klal Yisrael. It's a makom that is a place where you go for achdus. What do I mean? When klal Yisrael came to Shechem, which at that time was inhabited by the people, the Chivi, which were led by Hamor and his son Shechem. So the place, what did they want from Klal Yisrael? Shechem was Ma'ana Dina. He molested Dina. Why? He just had a taiva. It's not mashma like that in the Pesukim. He did not do it because he had a taiva. I spoke about this when we were doing Parshas Vayishlach. What was the purpose of being Ma'ana Dina? The purpose was V'hayinu la'am echad. Shechem wanted to become part of Klal Yisrael.
La'am echad was B'nai Yosef introducing that.
I know. No, that's not true. They wanted. They introduced it.
That idea of V'hayinu la'am echad, that was only after Shimon and Levi came and said, either we're going to take the.
Okay, that's true. You're right. I mean, they said those words. Yeah, that's true. But what Shechem wanted, you see, before the Torah was given, how did you become part of Klal Yisrael? There was no such thing as Gerus before the Torah was given. You became part of Klal Yisrael by marrying into the Mishpacha. That's how it was. You married in. Dina was the only daughter, at least the only daughter that is spoken of. And if Shechem marries her, then he becomes part of the clan. That's what he wanted. V'nei ha'aretz rachavas ha'adayim l'fneichem. No, Vayinu Amchad, believe that Shechem, that Hamor and Shechem say it. I don't believe you're right. They say Vayinu Amchad, that
that was only after they were given that option.
No, I don't believe you're right. That he offers it to him. Let's see. So the lashon of Vayinu Lamechad is not there, but they will marry into each other.
That was already,
they are the ones who introduced that. Let's marry into each other. We'll be one group. Shechem is a place which encourages that. But you see, whenever this is something which is lost on people today, people talk about unity, people talk about that, right? It's not possible to have unity unless you have exclusivity. You have to be unified in a specific thing. If you and I are brothers, that means we share something that no one else does. We are unified, but we are exclusive from them. We are unified in that we share, they don't. If everybody shares, then that's not unity. Then everybody's the same. That's not unification. Unification is when you have a group that stands out from the rest of the group. When one person stands out from the rest of the group, that's not unity. But when a few people come together with a specific thing and they stand up, that's unity. We stand for this. That's a unification. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be echad within ourselves. But Avada, we are exclusive from the rest of the world. That's what we're supposed to be. If we are all here in a shir together, we are unified, but we are exclusive from everybody out there. They're not in this shir. Everybody in the base measure is learning. We are unified in our learning, but we are not like the people outside the base measure who are not learning. There's always unity. It doesn't breed exclusivity. It is exclusivity. The only way to have unity is to have exclusivity. Shechem breeds that. Shechem is a place which is ripe for unity, but a byproduct or a direct result of unity is exclusivity. Shechem, the first time that Klal Yisrael come to the city of Shechem, they are threatened by the unity of the city of Shechem as perpetrated by the person Shechem. Then he is Ma'ana Esdina. That is the first thing that happens. Their first experience with the Makom Shechem is this threat of unity from those who do not belong with Klal Yisrael. From those who should be excluded from the unity of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael therefore fights them off. There was a machlokes between Yaakov and Shimon and Levi of what should be the method of separating from Shechem from the Chivi, but everybody agreed, we're not them, they're not us. We do not belong together. So that was successfully avoided. When the Shvatim went and sold Yosef in Shechem, it was the same thing. The Shvatim were unified in their service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they held that Yosef needs to be cut away. He doesn't belong with us. There's an exclusivity. Yosef doesn't belong with us because he's a Raidef. He's out to destroy Klal Yisrael. He doesn't belong with us. He needs to be removed from the picture, just like the Chivi were removed from the picture. That's Yosef. Why did Rechavam go to Shechem for his Malucha? Why Shechem? They went to Shechem because they were going to be Mamlech Rechavam there. That was a statement of unity behind Rechavam. It is there that Yeravam came and said, no, we're going to be exclusive. We're going to pull away. And we're going to not pull away, not that I'm pulling away. We are unified in pulling away from you. And anytime you deal with unity, you deal with defining groups. Always. No one in Klal Yisrael is going to say they stand divisiveness. No one's going to say that. Klal Yisrael, we know, is rife with divisiveness. No one's going to stand up and say, I stand for being divisive. Everybody will stand up and say, I stand for what is right, but they don't. So they're not representing what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. They're not saying I'm being divisive. I'm standing for what's right with my group. We're unified in standing up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You guys, you're not standing up for what's right. So you're cutting yourselves out. It's a very difficult thing to come to grips with, that unity and exclusivity go together. And something it's not a PC thing to talk about. You want to talk about everybody's all happy and wonderful and we're all good friends, but that's not the way it works. That's not life. Shechem is the makom that represents that. Now, the lemaisa, the brachos and klalos are supposed to happen in Shechem, because that is the thing that unifies us. We are unified in what? What are we unified as? We all like each other. We're unified because we all like the same kind of foods. How are we unified in Klal Yisrael? Because we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah. Our commitment to the Torah, which is represented by the Alos and the Shvua and the Klalos of the Brachos and Klalos of Har Gizem Har Evo, that is represented by Shechem. So now, let's understand What was supposed to happen? This is very, very important. Yeravam is supposed to secede from the union. He's supposed to take 10 Shvatim and break away from Yehuda and Binyamin. Okay. He does that successfully. That's what he's supposed to do. Now Yeravam, because of his Gasus HaRuach, as we'll talk about, because of that, he's afraid that if they go to the Oil Rego, he's going to lose the Melucha. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rashi says in Sefer Malachim, had the Gzeira of the splitting of the Melucha was supposed to be for only 36 years. It was supposed to be a 36-year separation and then come back together. But because of different events, it was prolonged. But it was supposed to be a 36-year separation. Okay. Why is Yeravam's fear not justified? Yeravam is a legitimate fear. People are holding me as Melech, and we're going to go to the Oile Regel, and they're going to think Yeravam is one type of Melech, Rechavam is another Melech. Huh. But Rechavam's sitting, Yeravam's standing, yeah, he's not a Melech. Rechavam's the Melech. Isn't that a legitimate fear? And moreover, were they supposed to go be happy and wonderful buddies there in the Beis HaMikdash together, Rechavam and Yeravam? Yeravam, who had ripped the carpet out from under Rechavam's feet, he's supposed to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're supposed to hold hands and they're supposed to like dance together and show everybody, oh no, we're really good friends. What was the correct, had he not made these agolim, what was supposed to happen? And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect? So, I can't tell you 100% because it didn't happen. But this is the way I believe, this is my conjecture of what the system would have been like. Yeravam would have come to be Oile Regel. They had already been told, from the Navi, had already told both sides they shouldn't fight with each other. You can be upset with each other, don't have a war. Don't fight with each other. Okay. So now, Yeravam comes with the Aseres HaShvatim to Yerushalayim, to be Oile Regel. And he comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Rechavam and Yeravam, I don't know if they like each other, don't like each other, whatever it is, they both go into the Beis HaMikdash for the Regel. They walk into the Azara. Rechavam is given a chair, the only chair in the Beis HaMikdash, think about it. There are no chairs, because you can't sit down. Rechavam sits down, covered of the Malchus. Yeravam remains standing. People see that who is the Iker? Malchus Beis David. Even the Aseres HaShvatim, who seceded, they see that the halacha is that the Iker is Malchus Beis David, not Yeravam. Fine. Do they continue remaining as the Aseres HaShvatim and don't become reunified? Yeah. The Gzera was for 36 years. I mean, we're talking about every year, three times a year, being Oile Regel for those 36 years. Apparently, the Aseres HaShvatim would not have taken that as a sign that they're supposed to get back together. They would have still rallied around their Melech, Yeravam ben Nevat, who is the Melech of Yisrael. That's what they would have done. But they would have seen that at least Klapei Shmaya, even though Yeravam was correct for seceding, Achia Shilaini was behind it, the great Navi. So he wasn't wrong, he was the right thing to do. But he's still second to Rechavam. That's what they would have seen. Apparently this would have gone on successfully for 36 years. Yeravam couldn't stand it. Mi Baraish, who's going to be first? He can only accept it if he's first. What is the issue over here? Yeravam is from Ephraim. Ephraim is Yosef. Now, I've spoken about this before, so some of you may have heard this. The role of Yosef, the role of Yosef HaTzadik was to be a bridge between the Avos and the Banim. Yosef HaTzadik was, on the one hand, he was one of the Shvatim. On the other hand, he was one of the Avos. How was he one of the Avos? He has children who are Shvatim. None of the Shvatim have children who are Shvatim. Only Yosef's children who are Shvatim. Just like Yaakov has children who are Shvatim, so does Yosef. And Yosef is a Mechalkel. By Mechalkel Yosef. Yosef provided the needs of everybody else. That's what a father does. A father provides the needs for his Mishpacha. Yosef was an Av. Avrech. He's partially an Av, partially Rach, partially young. He's both. That's what Yosef is. Yosef, Misham Roya, Evan Yisrael. Evan is Av and Ben. That's Yosef. Yosef is both. In what capacity does Yosef function as a Mechalkel and as an Av? Not when he was in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, with his brothers. There, he overstepped his bounds. There, as a young Yosef at 17 years old, he hadn't yet grown into Yosef HaTzadik, which he becomes when he goes down to Mitzrayim. At that point, he was overstepping his bounds. Fakert, his actions create a friction and a jealousy in Klal Yisrael. And there is, I mean, there's fault on both sides. On their madregas, believe me, Yosef was a better 17-year-old than we are adults. But nevertheless, Lamaisa, there is friction over there on their madrega, and he gets sold down to Mitzrayim. But in Mitzrayim, he rises to the level of Yosef HaTzadik, and he becomes the provider for Klal Yisrael for 80 years. He becomes Melech at 30 years old. He dies at 110. 80 years. No king in Klal Yisrael lasted that long. The longest reigning king in Klal Yisrael is Menashe, who goes 55 years. 80 years is a huge amount of time. 80 years is a whole generation. That's a massive amount of time. We're not used to that. What leader do we know that lasted 80 years? 80 years. It's a whole lifetime. People can be born, live their lives, and die, and know nothing but Yosef being in charge. It's just amazing. Yosef does all that as a viceroy, as a Mishneh Lamelech, second in command. The tachlis of Yosef, the job of Yosef, is to be the leader, but the second in command. Not first in command. Yosef is not David. David's role is to be the top dog. I don't want to use that word for David at all. To be the president. Yosef's role is to be what?
It's worse than David.
There's the, okay. David Melch's role is to be the top, and Yosef's role is to be second. David HaMelech's role, what's that? David HaMelech's role is very difficult, because when you're on the top, you have to constantly watch out that you hold yourself accountable. Because when no one else holds you accountable, you have to hold yourself accountable. And that's the role of Malchus based David, to lead Klal Yisrael in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in subjugating ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by example. Because he does it, so we all do it. The role of the viceroy of Yosef, he's the one who does a lot of the nitty-gritty, a lot of what's going on, a lot of the mechalkel. He does a lot. He can be very successful, very charismatic, as Yosef was, but he's second. Yosef and Mitzrayim are two sides of the same coin. And this is an old shmuz of mine. We don't have time to develop this fully, but Mitzrayim is also the same koyach as Yosef, as being a second, not a first. The struggle between Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Klal Yisrael, "Bini b'chayri Yisrael," that Klal Yisrael is my b'char, my firstborn, not you, Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was struggling with Klal Yisrael, of who's going to be firstborn, who's going to be secondborn, who's the top of the world, and who's secondary. Mitzrayim is meant to play a secondary role, a supporting role to Klal Yisrael. Overall, that's what it's meant to be. But Mitzrayim can't stand that. They want to be first. That is why in the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim is Egel. It's always Egel. The Egel Hazav wasn't by mistake. Why did Klal Yisrael form an Egel Hazav? So there's two pshatim and Rashi over there how that happened. But one of the pshatim is that the Erev Rav, who were Mitzrayim, made the Egel Hazav. Why an Egel? Because that was the primary Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Egel Yefefia Mitzrayim, as we say in Mo's Sur, Malchus Egla, B'shibud Malchus Egla. Egel represents Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael is represented by the Seh, by the sheep. The Tseh is the mazel of Chodesh Nisan, the first month. The Egel or the Shar, which is the same family, is the mazel for Chodesh Iyar, the second month. Egel represents, Egel or Shar or Para represents second. Tseh, sheep, represents first. The Mitzrim also worshipped the Tseh because they were Tseh wannabes. They wanted to be Bechor. That's why they worshipped Tseh. That's why the whole of Pesach revolves around Bechor, carbon Pesach, which is only from a Tseh. Can't be from a Para. It has to be from a Tseh. Can't use an eagle for a carbon Pesach, either a sheep or a goat. And the whole issue was Shabbos HaGadol. They took the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim and they said, we're going to shecht it. It wasn't just we're shechting your God. We're showing you it's not your God. It's not your kayach. You're not Tseh. You're Egel. It was a slap in the face to the Mitzrim's designs on being Bechor. B'ni Bechor Yisrael. You don't want to believe it, Paro, but you don't want to let my Bechor go? I'm going to kill your Bechor. Why Bechor? Because that's what they wanted. Mitzrayim wanted Bechor. They desperately wanted to be first, not second. Klal Yisrael comes out of Mitzrayim. We're first. They're second. That was the message. Yosef, who thrives in Mitzrayim, is because he's also the kayach of second, in a good way, not in a bad way. He's the kayach of Egel, of Shor. Bechor Shoro. He's a Bechor, but in the guise of Shor.
Ale Shor.
That's the kayach of Yosef. Yosef is a Shor, is an ox, which is, the bovine family is Egel. That's second. Yosef can be a Bechor, Bechor means first, but only when he's a Shor. Only when he understands he's second. When he doesn't have designs on the top seat. Then Yosef thrives. And when Yosef thrives, he thrives unbelievably. 80 years, he supports everybody, takes care of everybody, unbelievable. Yeravam was meant to be that position. The position of second. Be happy with second. Rise to the occasion of being second. That's what he was meant to be. Develop what second means. Ultimately, we don't understand how this works, because we don't understand much about it. But the whole idea of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, is the same idea. Mashiach ben Yosef is not the Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is Mashiach ben David. But there's also a concept of Mashiach ben Yosef, which is second. He's going to be killed. But he's meant to be second. The role of Yeravam is meant to be that second. Yeravam couldn't accept that. When it says the Gassus HaRuach of Yeravam, we're talking about a tremendous gadol. What are you, Gassus HaRuach? You think that he was more of a Baal Gaiva than we are? I'll speak for myself. Than I am? I'm saying we all have shortcomings. We all have problems with Gaiva. You think that he was, on his Madrega, he had Gassus HaRuach. But it wasn't something which, if we were there, we would have done any better. He couldn't accept this role of Yosef, of being second. Yosef is given Shechem. That's what he's given. Shechem ultimately is the makom of Yosef. It's not by accident he was sold in Shechem. Shechem is really the kayach of Yosef. Yosef is the kayach of Ma'ached. Even he's the secondary person, but he's meant to bring Klal Yisrael together to define who we are, to define ourselves as unified and exclusive. That's who Yosef is meant to be. Yeravam is supposed to do that. Yeravam is meant to define who we are. Whatever Shlomo Melech was doing wrong, Yeravam was meant to correct that, but then give the Melucha back to Malchus based on it. He was meant to correct what was going wrong, what was going awry, but not to keep the Melucha for himself, to give it back. When he fails in that, what does he create? Two Egels. Again, that is not by happenstance. Two Egels, which is the same as Egel Azov. Why? Because he's the kayach of Egel. He's the kayach of Egel, and he wants Klal Yisrael to be subservient to the kayach of Egel, not to the kayach of Malchus Beis David, but to come over to him. That's why it turns out to be an Egel. The Egel is representative of that problem. So that's where Yeravam ben Avot That's where the issue comes from. That's where the shortcoming is. And it's a terrible thing. I mean, we suffered from it. It was a horrible, horrible thing. But from then on, all the future malachim of Malchus Yisrael, and I suspect, see, I never researched this 100%, certainly most, if not all, of Malchei Yisrael come from Shevet Yosef, either Menashe or Ephraim. And that's also not by accident. I mean, he's the leader of the Aseres HaShvatim. He's supposed to be a melech, but a vice melech. That's what he's supposed to be. A Mishneh LaMelech. That's what he's supposed to be. He belongs in a position of leadership, but as a Mishneh LaMelech, not as the melech himself. It's a very tough thing. It's a very, very tough thing. When a person is in a position of being a Mishneh LaMelech, and they see that they are successful, and they see they're doing well, it's very hard to concede that there's someone above me who is the melech. Go ahead. One more point to make. Go ahead.
Just the name Shechem also means like the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean the Rosh?
Yeah, right.
The thing of
very good. Excellent. It's the next thing down.
Right.
It's the next thing down. Like it says also by the Beis HaMikdash, it was put a little bit down because Bein Uvein Ksef of Shachin. Right? That's the best place to put the Beis HaMikdash. It's more beautiful. Right? There's a beauty to being a little lower down. Yosef is beautiful. There's a beauty to it. The Gemara says on Kuf Beis Amin Aleph, someone who is Nana Min Olam Azeh B'loi Bracha, Chavar Hun L'Ish Mashkes. He's a friend of Yoravim Ben Avat, who is Chaytim Machnes Arabim. What Shaykhes? Now making a Bracha, what Shaykhes? What does that do with anything? There's a hard rationale we don't understand exactly what it means. It seems to me, with the few minutes we have left, that the pshat is that when a person is not Mevarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something, then they do not have Hakaras HaTayv. They don't have Hakaras HaTayv. The Pasuk says over here, the Gemara says, V'chein titni shluchim al mareshes gas, etc., etc., etc. Amra chanina bar papa, yatsa baskol v'amra lehen. A baskol came out and said to them, said to Yerav Menavat, Misha harag es aplishti, the one who killed the plishti, v'harish eschem gas, and gave you gas, titnu shiluchim lebanav, you're going to just send them off? You're going to send off his children? David HaMelech is the one who conquered the Plishtim for you. And now you're just dismissing his children? You're dismissing Rechavam? Biti achziv la'achzav l'malchei Yisrael. That I'm going to bring cruel people against Malchei Yisrael. And then the Gemara says about this next thing about Kolan Enem, Yolam Azeb Lo Bracha. They did not have appreciation for what David had done for them. As Rashi says, Misha Aragas Aplishti Vayde Kane Haya Marish Lachem Gas, Lachitimu Shluchim Lavanov Shetazu Malchus Beis David, Vitimluchu Acherim. How dare you do that? David HaMelech established Eretz Yisrael in a way that we could live there with a Melech. Later on, his son Shlomo was a great tzaddik but did some things wrong. And Rechavam continued those things. Yeravam can do a better job. So he's given Malchus because he can do a better job. And it's true he could do a better job. But you have to remember how you got here. You got here from David. This, I think, can resonate with all of us. This happens all the time. It happens everywhere and all the time. Somebody comes, starts something, does a great job in starting it. Wonderful. Brings in somebody else to help him because it gets bigger and bigger. So the person who started it needs help. Someone else comes in. The person who comes in does a better job to run it than the person who started it. What happens next? They're agitating to get rid of the person who started it and have the new person become the leader. That's normal. Because there's one kayach to start something, there's another kayach to run something. It's two different kayachas. And it is not abnormal. It is common, it's normal for the one who started it to not have the kayach to run it best. So what happens? Now you have a new situation where they want to get rid of the person who started it. The Pasuk says, you got to remember who started it. You're only here because he started it. A person who is Nana Milayim Azeb Aloy Bracha doesn't remember where it came from, That's Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam's kayach was beautiful. He had incredible kayachas to correct what was going wrong, to run the show once David HaMelech is no longer alive, to run it. And he would do a better job than Rechavam. But his job was to be a Mishneh LaMelech. But he forgot that. He forgot where it all came from, which is from David HaMelech. You don't dismiss his children if it came from him, even though you can do a better job. That's why Kohanenim Olas Ebel Avracha is now a cover to Yerovam. To me, this is something which we need to keep in mind all the time. It is such a common thing. It plays itself out over and over and over and over again in Klal Yisrael. But you got to remember where it comes from. You don't push someone out just because they're not able to run it as well as the next person. You do get someone else to run it. You do that as a Mishneh LaMelech. But you don't push out the first guy, because the first guy started it. That's where it all came from. He was Marish Esgas. He's the, what's Lashon? Amaresh Esgas. He's the one who established the whole thing in the first place. To me, it resonates. You know, I don't usually like to take these sorts of Gemaras and then just apply them to current events. You know, and this is Iran and this is Iraq and this is, I think that anybody who does, well, I don't want to make a generalization like that, but I think it is a waste of time to do that. I always feel it's a waste of time. People ask me things like that, I dismiss those things. It's a waste of time. We don't know, we're not Nevi'im. But I'm not talking about a specific event or a specific person. I'm talking about something that happens so regularly in Klal Yisrael. That's what I'm applying it to. And this is such a regular thing. And to me, it resonates as something to be very careful about.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.